Welcome to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. At Village, we seek to be shaped by the life of Christ, to practice authentic friendship, and serve the world. You're invited to join us at either our Mission Campus or our Antioch Campus. For now, we hope you hear a word for your own life in this sermon.
It's such a joy and a privilege for me to be at this, to read scripture today in my beloved Village Church. The scripture reading this morning is from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. But before we read the scripture, please join me in prayer. Living God, help us to hear your holy word, that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any questions. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever.
So if you read through the Gospel of Mark, you'll discover that of all the people that Jesus meets in this gospel, this scribe is the only person that Jesus says, "You are not far from the kingdom." So we should pay attention to him to see what he got right. What he does is he asks Jesus, "What's the most important commandment?" What he's asking Jesus is the question we've been reflecting on. What do you want? What do you want from me? What do you want for me? What do you want from the world, for the world? And Jesus says, "I want you to love. Love God with all that you are and love your neighbor as yourself." That answer should not surprise us. It should be the answer we expect. But what may surprise you is you can read Mark from the first chapter to the end. This is the only time Jesus talks about love. No other time does he have a conversation about love. But in every verse, in every moment of his life, he is living love. I think that's the point. With love, well, every now and then it needs to be said. But all the time it needs to be loved. To quote that great theologian of the church, Clint Black, love is something that we do. And if you are fortunate, you have known someone in your life who has shown you what it is to live love. The scribe said, tell me the most important commandment. Tell me what you want from me. Tell me what I'm for. And Jesus says, love. Love God with all that you are and your neighbor. And the scribe says, you are right, Jesus. Imagine the relief of our Lord and Savior. But then the scribe adds this. To love is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. So have you offered burnt offerings recently? I'm not talking about breakfast in bed for your mother. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, have you offered burnt offerings? Probably not, but it was common in ancient Israel. I can't tell you how many times people have, in conversation with me about this room, have referred to this part of the room as the altar. They've talked about it as the altar. Have you ever called it that? We don't really call this the altar, and here's why. You know what an altar is? An altar is a place for sacrifice, for animal sacrifice. So my memory's not as good as it used to be, but I can't remember the last time we had an animal sacrifice here in this sanctuary, right? We just don't do that anymore. But in Jesus' day, it was common. It was worship. So we've got to translate this statement of the scribe. What he says is, love is more important even than worship. And worship was the most important thing. So how do we interpret this? Here's what I think he means. Not that worship needs to stop, that we don't need that anymore. No. But worship needs to be shaped by love, an expression of love. It's not that love becomes the only thing in our lives. It's that love shapes everything in our lives. That's what it means to say it is the first commandment. Love doesn't live by itself in abstract. It shows up in everything we do. And that's why it's hard. Because love is easy in some places. But in some endeavors, it's very hard. My friend Tom Long, teacher of preachers, he lived in Atlanta for a long time. He said he was driving in Atlanta and sort of out of his peripheral vision, he caught a glimpse. He was driving in a neighborhood. He caught a glimpse of a young man carrying his wife across the threshold of their home. And it took him back to his marriage and that time. And he said he carried his wife across the threshold. It's a tradition in some families. The traffic came to a stop and he got a closer look. He looked again and he realized it wasn't actually a young couple. He said their hair was gray. I didn't quite get the point there, but he said, their hair was gray, and then he noticed the wheelchair from which this man had just lifted his wife. And he realized this was not the first blissful step across this threshold. This was the millionth hard step. For some, it would have been a job, but Tom said you could almost see it. Love was involved, and so it was the only thing they could do. Love is something that we do. It shows up in our choices. And I promise you this, if you commit your heart to love, if you commit your life to love, sooner or later, it's going to take all you have to offer. Now, that may not make sense on every day, but it makes sense on this day because this is Mother's Day. This is a day when we give thanks for our moms. It is a day when we honor our moms. It's also a day when we pray for those of you in this sanctuary who are grieving your moms because she's not here anymore. And it's a day, and I'm increasingly aware of this, when we pray for those of you who would give anything to be a mom, but the circumstances of life just haven't allowed that. On this Mother's Day, we do what we always do here at Village. We celebrate baptism at the prior service and this service and our worship at Antioch. We welcome into this church family 21 children. And when you bring your children to this church, what you are saying to this church family is that you want us to partner with you in sharing the love of God with your own children. Because your children, like all children, need a community to show them what love looks like. And you will do that for them, as their parents, as their families. But you invite us to partner with you in doing the same. And I will be bold enough to say, if you give it a chance, that happens in this community every day. It's Mother's Day, it's Baptism Day, it's also that season when so many in our church family are experiencing graduations. And so behold, I declare to you a mystery. Some of these parents are napping. It's okay. It's a day of rest. They're napping. Because it's not because the sermon's not compelling, I'm sure of that. It's because they are sleep deprived. Their eyes are looking at each other. They can't remember the last time they slept through the night. It is inexplicable how a 12-pound human being can leave you exhausted and can capture every minute of your day. And some of them are concerned that they might not last until like Tuesday, because from now till Tuesday is a long time. It is a long time. And then, here's the mystery. This 12-pound child is going to change her pacifier for a graduation gown like that. And you're going to ask yourself, how did the time go so fast? And you're going to wonder, did I get it right? Did I do what I was supposed to do, or did I miss it? So let me just tell you now, you got it right sometimes. And there are other times when you're going to mess it up bad. And that is why God invented therapists. And you will only know some of the things that your child will talk to his therapist about. But you'll love them. And so you will have done what matters most. You see, if you're fortunate, there's somebody in your life who has shown you what love looks like. And if your mother was one of those people, this is the day when you get to thank her that she loved you along that long journey. And this is the day when she pretends that it was easy. Of the things that Jesus wants from us, what he wants most is love. And it shows up in everything in our lives, in our families, in our work, in our citizenship, in the church. If this is what defines the church, then this means the church is not the church because of our mission. The church is not the church because of our doctrine. The church is the church because of our friendships, because of our relationships. It is a community that endeavors to practice what love looks like in life. So in my Friday e-note, I shared with you my favorite Mother's Day poem, Billy Collins' poem, The Lanyard. If you missed it, you can look it up. It's the link on there. You can hear him read it to a crowd. But today, what I'd like to read to you, if you'll allow it, I'd like to read to you my favorite Mother's Day children's book. Is that okay? So I'm going to do it whether you say it's okay or not. So You might as well just say, yeah, that'd be great, Tom. So it goes like this. A mother held her newborn baby, and very slowly, she rocked him back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. And that baby grew. He grew and he grew and he grew and he grew until he was 9 years old, and he never wanted to come in for dinner, and he never wanted to take a bath. And when grandma showed up, he always used bad words. And sometimes his mother wanted to sell him to the zoo. But at night, when he was asleep, his mother opened the door and crawled across the floor and looked up over the side of the bed. And if he was really asleep, she picked up that 9-year-old boy and rocked him back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And while she rocked, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. The boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a teenager. And he had strange friends and he wore strange clothes and he listened to strange music. And sometimes the mother felt like she was in the zoo. But at nighttime, when that teenager was asleep, she opened the door and crawled across the floor and looked up over the side of the bed. And if he was really asleep, she picked up that great big boy and she rocked him back and forth and back and forth. And while she rocked, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. That teenager grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a grown-up man, and he left home and got a house across town, thanks be to God. You know, actually, that's not in the book. It just slipped out. But sometimes on dark nights, the mother got into her car and drove across town. And if the lights in her son's home were out, she opened the window and crawled across the floor. And if that great big man was really asleep, she picked him up and she rocked him back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. Well, that mother, she got older. She got older and older and older. And one day she called her son and said, I need you to come see me because I'm old and sick. So her son came to see her, and when he came in the door, she tried to sing. She sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you. But she couldn't finish because she was too sick. The son went to his mother. He picked her up. And he rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while he rocked her, he sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my mother you'll be. The son came home that night. He stood for a long time at the top of the stairs. Then he went into the room where his very new baby daughter was sleeping. He picked her up in his arms and he rocked her back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And while he rocked her, he sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. The scribe said, "What am I for? What matters most?" Jesus said, "Love. In everything, love." It's hard. And it's love for the long haul. So, this is the only time that Jesus has this conversation. It's the only time he talks about it. But in every moment of his life, he lived it. And that's the message for us. Sometimes it needs to be spoken. It needs to be said out loud. But there's never a time when it doesn't need to be lived. And if you are fortunate, you've had someone in your life who has shown you what love looks like when it's lived. Maybe your mother. But even if not, you're here now, and God is here. And God loves you like a holy mother, and God will love you forever, as long as you are living and beyond. You will be God's beloved child. Pray with me. Gracious God, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. Learn more about us at villagepres.org, and we invite you to join us again next week.